hold up your Bible. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am. I am. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God a shout of victory today. Amen. Open your Bible to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, would you please? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 in the Message paraphrase. We're finishing a series this weekend on how to connect with God. We wrapped it around Easter because without Calvary and the cross, without the resurrection, there is no connection to God. I wanted to take you deeper. I wanted you to go further than many of you know the basics of. You read your Bible, you pray, you worship, you give, you serve, you help others every day. You'll grow that way. But I wanted to go from another direction and look at the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, on the worst day of his life, because I know you have trouble, I have trouble. You have challenges, I have challenges. As long as we're in this broken world, bad things happen to good people. So I want to teach you and equip you how to respond to a bad day. So we've looked at these seven sayings. Today we will talk about the last and final saying, the last words of Jesus on the cross, the seventh saying. But we're going to talk about, we're going to give you practical things on what do you do on a day where you could quit. You could be depressed, feel lonely, be led by your emotions. You could listen to the wrong people and go in the wrong direction. I'm going to show you today from God's Word on what to do on the worst day of your life. So we're going to look at it here in Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at verse 2. Everybody ready? Study how he did it. Now, it's referring to Jesus. The context is on the cross. So study how Jesus did it, how he got through, how he endured the cross. The cross represents the worst day of our life, where we're filled with emotional pain, could be physical pain, spiritual pain. And we're to study how he did it, and then we're to take those life lessons from each line, apply it to our life, and then we will put up with everything and anything that comes our way and come out of it as an overcomer. Am I connecting with you so far? So notice it says, study Jesus. I just want to unpack that for a moment, because I think Pastor Kim was right on spot when she was talking about our friends. You know, I think it's important who you are studying. I think it's important who are your mentors, your close friends, because show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Folks, the Bible says that that our friends will shape our life. Our friends will determine the direction of our life. Notice, who are you studying? It amazes me so many people are following people who don't even have a track record. I'm not going to listen to anybody who has done less than me. I'm going to minister to them, but I'm not going to listen to them for direction. Okay, I want to say that one more time. You know, some of you have mentors around you. Ask yourself, if you're listening to them, what have they built? What have they grown? What's their family like? What's their marriage like? How do they handle their finances? What's their health like? What's their track record? John Maxwell said you can describe a leader by looking at their closest friend and family, how they look up to them. So, you know, study the life of Christ. Folks, he's our hero. He's our champion. He's the one that we want to imitate our life after. But I just want to, as your pastor, just give a charge and a challenge to you. Some of you are listening to the wrong people. Some of you are hanging around people who haven't built a business over a period of a decade. They haven't built anything that's lasting, anything that's great. Their family is a wreck. Their kids are lost. Their kids are on drugs. And you're asking them for counseling and to mentor you and to help you? I'm going to do a John Osteen. Shamey, shamey, shamey. Folks, we need to be really selective and intentional on who are your mentors. And you need mentors. But a lot of people are following people that are talking about success and they can't even draw a crowd. There's no one following them. There's no track record. There's no platform other than their personality. For me, I don't know why I'm saying this. It's not in my notes. But Pastor Kim was right on spot when she talked about friends. You know, when our two boys grew up, we chose their friends. And they went to our Christian school. And you know, some of the deacons would say back then, Pastor, you know, you need to look at your kids. You know, I saw them do this the other day. I said, yeah, because they're running around with your kids. Folks, we chose, I know this is counterculture, we chose our kids' friends. We didn't let them do anything they wanted to do. There were times they didn't want to go to church, but here's my philosophy. As long as your feet are under my table, you're getting your fanny to church. How'd that come out? Well, I'm afraid I might harm little Billy. Where are you going to harm him? Hell one, hell two, hell three? Well, he's going to grow up rebellious. He's already rebellious. Why for me to go to that? Here's a spiritual father who raised my kids. They're serving God. Never caused me any heartache. Never drank beer. Never took drugs. I'm not just lifting me up. I'm lifting the Word of God up. A church 30-some years. I haven't ran off with the organist. Thank God, Josh and I haven't run off. Haven't embezzled the money. I live in the same house for the last 18 years. I'm not telling you to let me be your mentor, but I'm saying you need to look at track record. I have mentors in my life, you know, but they're proven. They're tested over time. They've accomplished great things. All of them, most of them are older than me, much older than me, because they've been where I want to go. They've gone through the battles that I have yet to go through. They've proven to have a great track record. And everybody said, study Jesus, how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. He never lost sight. Now, don't lose that, because that's what's going to get you through a bad day. That's what gets me through a weekend when there's low attendance and the weather stinks. Can I say that? Can we be real? You know, when people stay away in groves and we got budget and we got a dream and we want to advance and everybody decides to take a vacation, how do I get through a bunch of empty seats? Low offerings for 30-some years, because it happens to all churches and all ministries, because people are people. How do I get through that? I know where I'm going. So take that. How are you going to get through the worst day of your life? You got to know where you're going. You got to have a vision. You got to have a dream. It's got to be clear. You got to have an assignment. Know what it is. You got to press towards the mark on the worst day of your life. Jesus knew what was on the other side of the cross. You got to know what's on the other side of tomorrow, the other side of next week, the other side of next month, the other side of the next year. Because you know what God wants to do for your life? Take you from glory to glory. You know what God's plan is for you? It's good. It's not to harm you or hurt you. So if you'll just hold your course, if you'll just hang on, if you'll just stay faithful, watch where God will take you. Can we give the Lord a good praise right now? Amen. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was going. That's how he did it. And then he focused on the finish, finishing strong with God. And because of that, he could put up with anything along the way. He could put up with, that sounds like Zig Ziglar right there. He could put up with anything along the way. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there. Where's Jesus today, Pastor? Well, he's not on the earth. Where is he? He's in heaven. Where is he, Pastor? He's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing, Pastor? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Folks, we can't lose with Jesus praying for us. If we'll just remain faithful, if we'll just hold our course, if we'll just look towards the finish line, if we'll just have a dream and a mission and know we have a purpose from God, if we'll do what Jesus did, he made it through the worst day of his life, Good Friday. You can make it through every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every first of the month, every end of the month, every middle of the month. Where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? Praying for you and me. You know, prayers are amazing, aren't they? You know, my mom and dad would tell me, and I actually have a picture of my grandmother when I was born. I have a picture of her at home in my office. And I have a picture of my grandmother, and she's holding me in this arm, and I'm a little baby. I'm a little baby. This is Grandma Blunt. This is 1954, okay? Pastor, that's a long time ago. Well, it's not that long time ago. It's just a little time ago. But 1954, I'm a little baby. She's holding me in her arm. And my mom and dad told me that what she would do out there on the farm is she'd carry me around all over the farm doing her chores, praying in tongues over me, praying in the Spirit over me. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that amazing to have a heritage when you have your parents and your grandparents praying over you? Did you know, folks, that even when you leave this world, your prayers still are working in this world? You knew that, right? You know that if the Lord would tarry and you go by the grave, when you go to the grave, your prayers don't go to the grave. Jesus said in the book of Revelation that he stores your prayers in a bottle. That your prayers are ever going up before the Father like incense, a sweet savor. Oh, my goodness. So the prayers that my grandmother prayed, I'm here because of her prayers. Her prayers live on. The prayers of my parents, oh, my goodness. So I just encourage you, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle, keep the prayers coming over your family, over your children, and over your grandchildren. Oh, what a legacy when I think about that. And I look at that picture at home in my office. And then, you know, my grandmother, she died in church. She was 64 years old. And on a Sunday night, where was she? In church. I know we don't have Sunday night church anymore. Very many churches don't do that anymore. I guess it's outdated. But my grandmother, this is my heritage. This is my grandmother was in church on Sunday night, a Pentecostal church, an Assembly of God church, and she was sitting there. They said that she was sitting there in the pew during praise and worship. Now, they didn't have lights back then. They had light bulbs. Come on now. Oh, my goodness. And they didn't stand during praise and worship. They sat, okay? But they said on Sunday night, they said Grandma Blunt had her hands raised. And she was in worship time, and they said she didn't slump over. They said that Dave, she went like this and just gradually leaned over on the pew and died. That's my grandmother. That's my legacy. That's why I'm here today. Folks, I just want to encourage you to keep on praying for your family. Keep on praying for your kids and your grandkids, because your prayers never die. And as much as I cherish my grandmother and as much as I cherish my parents' prayers, guess what? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for me and my family and for you today. Isn't that an amazing thought? Wow. Pastor Father, just call the prayer line. That's cool. That's important. We have that. But you know what? You have something greater than the prayer line. You have something greater than dial up a prayer. Right. Pay for a prayer. Pay for a prophecy. Some of you are laughing because you've done it. Praise the Lord. The best. But you know what? You got Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Can we give him praise today? Can we tell him, thank you, Lord, for praying for us? Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's go, if you would, with me, please, to Luke 23. Let's look at the seventh saying of Jesus on the cross. And this is a powerful, powerful, powerful saying. It's the seventh and the last words of Christ before he passed away and died and went to the innermost parts of the earth and defeated death, hell, and the grave. In fact, some of you, let me just give this to you. Five things Jesus did. Five benefits. If you remember at the beginning of this month, I told you that some people haven't a clue what the crucifixion and the cross is all about. Some people know what it's about, but don't know the benefits. Can I share with you five benefits of Easter, of resurrection weekend, of the cross? Can I share them with you? Number one, what did Jesus do? He fulfilled what God had promised. He fulfilled what God had promised. I hate it when people don't keep their word, don't you? Doesn't it just make you happy when they don't keep their word? Doesn't it just make you blessed when they say, I'll be there at 3, and 3 came and went? and they didn't even call you, didn't text you, didn't Skype you. They hyped you. You won't laugh at anything I'm saying to you. Well, you're a tough crowd, but I love you anyway. Praise the Lord, because I know God's talking to you. He fulfilled what God had promised. Number two, because there are over 360 prophecies in the Old Testament about the cross. Number two, he satisfied God's justice. So not only did he fulfill, number two, he satisfied. Number three, he canceled our debt of sin. Now we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number four, he defeated the fear of death. Isn't that good news? The Bible says that if you're afraid of death, you'll live in bondage all your life. Do you know, a lot of people, even Christians, are afraid to die. Friend, Jesus took the sting out of death. Jesus took the fear out of leaving this world and going into the next one. Where did he do that? On the cross. What did he do? Number one, he fulfilled every promise. Number two, he satisfied God's justice because God had to punish sin. Number three, he canceled the debt of sin for us. Number four, he defeated the fear of death. Defeated the fear of death. You know, I told the Lord, you know, because it's in my heritage and legacy and that DNA, I said, God, you know, I want to go like my, if you don't come back, Lord, if you tarry and I go by the grave, God, I want to go out like my grandmother did. God, you know, I want to teach the best sermon I've ever taught. And I wanted to help the people and build the church and add to the church. And then, God, I want to go home, have a cup of coffee, go to bed, and go to heaven. That's how I want to go while I'm sleeping. After doing the greatest thing that I could do, what I've been called to do. And last night when I said that, the whole crowd laughed and hooped and hollered. And y'all just looked at me right there. Y'all need coffee? I mean, last night, didn't they, Steve? They just laughed. And oh, that's great. You, whoa, whoa. And you just look at me. Boy, he's serious, isn't he? Yeah. I am serious, praise God. I am serious. I've asked the Lord that several times. God, if I don't go by the rapture, and I believe in the rapture, by the way. Somebody said I'm pre-trib. Somebody said I'm post-trib. Somebody said I'm mid-trib. I just say I'm pan-trib. However it pans out. Defeated the fear of death. Number five, he destroyed Satan's power. He destroyed Satan's power. So let's look at that seventh saying, Luke 23:44. Out of this, I'm going to give you three takeaways, unpack three things that you can take with you, and it'll help you. It'll help your life. It'll help every day. It'll help every Monday all the way through Sunday. All right? If you do these three things. They're simply what Jesus did. Remember, we're going to study him because, my goodness, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the mentor of all mentors. Amen. He's the hero of all heroes. He's the superhero of all superheroes. Amen. Jesus is the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the lily of the valley. Yeah, he's everything today. So how did he do it? Look here. It says it was about the sixth hour and there was darkness all over the earth. Sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. And there was darkness all over the earth. Circle the word darkness because we all go through darkness. We all go through dark times, don't we, church? Sure we do. We all go through the valley, you know. But here's the key. When you're in the valley, remember what he told you on the mountaintop. When you're in the valley, remember what he told you on the mountaintop. What are you talking about, Pastor? I mean, on that good day when you had a good devotion and you got a revelation and the light came on and you wrote it in your journal. That day that you got a rhema word and you wrote it in the cover of your Bible. Go back and look at that when you're going through a dark season. So in the dark seasons, you remember what God told you in the light. In the dark season, you remember what God told you in the light. In the valleys, you remember what he told you on the mountaintop experiences, the Mount of Transfiguration. So look what he says here. It was darkness all over the earth until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Next verse, verse 45. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now, the veil was in the temple because only the high priest could go into the holiest of holies. Right? Okay? Because Jesus is now our chief high priest, he rent the veil, and now you and I can have fellowship with God. Now you and I can go boldly before the throne room of God. We don't need a priest because we have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. He split the wall. He tore the wall down, the partition down, the veil down, the curtain down, and he made a way where there was no way. And now you and I can have a personal relationship with God. Now you can talk to God in the dark seasons of your life. You can hear God on the mountaintops and in the light give you a rhema word that will help you live out your life and finish it strong. And you remind yourself of it. Didn't Paul tell Timothy in the book of Timothy, remember, Timothy, endure life as a good soldier and remember the prophecies that were spoken over you. Man, I have in my Bible, you know, a lot of my mentors, I have them write in my Bible and write a word. And when I'm going through a tough time, I have my father's Bible. You know the grandmother who prayed for me? I have her Bible. I'll go through the Bibles of my heritage. All of my mentors, all the people you know that are mentors, most of them, I am right in my Bibles. So when I'm having a tough day, we all have tough days, I'll open up and there's a word. Next weekend, Jerry Savelle will be with us. Jerry Savelle is written in my Bible. He gave me a word years ago. I've hung on to it. How do you make it through the dark seasons of life? You remember what God told you in the light. How do you get through the valley? Remember what God told you on the mountaintop. It's a good time to praise him right now, can't we? Come on, let's praise him. Next verse, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud shout. Now, church, I'm doing expository teaching. That's when you do it verse by verse. And notice he says he cried with a loud voice. Notice a loud voice. Don't skim over that because that was significant. That wasn't normal. That wasn't average. Most people who were crucified by the end of the day, they couldn't even speak. They were so weak. And what Jesus at the end of the day, at the end of the 6 hours, when he went through all that he went through, and his seventh saying, he didn't squeak it out, he didn't whisper it out, he didn't murmur it out, he didn't gripe it out, he didn't complain it out. He shouted it out. What am I learning from that? No matter how bad it gets, don't lose your shout. No matter how bad it gets, don't lose your shout of victory. Oh, Pastor, I can't take any more. Just when you feel like you can't take any more, change the atmosphere with a shout. Just when you feel you can't take any more, change the atmosphere with a shout. You know, I read a story in the Bible that when a group of folks kept their mouth quiet until the seventh day, the seventh time, they gave a shout of victory and the walls came down. Oh, praise God. The walls are coming down, church. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud shout, a shout of victory, he said, Father, Father. Notice he said, Father. He didn't say, my God, my God. He said, Father. What's that speak of? A personal relationship with the Father. How are you and I? Now, I want to give you right now, real quick. I should have given it to you at the very beginning, but I want to give it to you right now. That the thesis of today's message is this: trust God with your future. Trust God with your future. Future. You might want to write that down because that's the whole thesis of me blabbing for 29 minutes up here. Is I'm trying to equip you. You see, Jesus is going to trust the Father with his future. And how do you trust God with your future? Pastor, it's so unknown. The world is so crazy. You know, when I was growing up, people lived in one neighborhood the whole time. Some of you young people, I mean old people, will remember that. Right? When I grew up, you know, my folks, and growing up, they moved 3 times. In my whole, from when I was born to when I graduated from high school. Now people move 3 times in a year. Right? Sure they do. You know, when I was growing up, you know, we had the same neighborhood, the same friends. I'm going back to Leave It to Beaver, my 3 sons. Dennis the Menace, you know that era? Okay? And it was a whole different world. Today it's different. People move every year 2 or 3 times. We're so fluid, we're so transit, and in a world that's so uncertain, governments are falling, nations are falling. You know, what we founded our life is, what we were trusting our life upon, is all crumbling like Humpty Dumpty. People are more afraid of the future now than ever before. And what your pastor is trying to help you and equip you with today is trust God with your future. Trust Him with your children and their education. Trust Him with your health and your retirement. Trust Him with your investments. Trust Him. Trust Him with your relationships within your family. Trust Him with your career. Trust Him with His provision. The whole thesis of today is trust God with your future. If you're not trusting God for your future, who are you putting your future into? Whose hands is it in today? I put my future in His hands because He's got the in His. Yeah. So look, the Father. So let me give you number one takeaway is the better I know God, the better I know God, the better I know Him, the more I will begin to let go and let Him be in control. The more that I know Him, the less I will worry. The more that I know Him, the more I will let go and let God be God over my future. Notice Jesus could commend His spirit to the Father. He could let go and give His whole future to the Father because He was His Father. He had a relationship. The better I know God. So number one, get to know God better. And you'll trust Him with your future. I watched Joe Buck interview this week Roger Clemens, Major League Baseball, The Rocket, Roger Clemens. And he said, Roger, who was your greatest influence in your life? You know, when you went to this club, Ted Williams was in the clubhouse. When you went to this one, you know, you have all the famous baseball players, Major League. And he said to Roger Clemens, The Rocket, he said to him, who was the greatest influence on your life? And Roger Clemens, if you saw it, he started crying. He broke up. He said, Joe, I didn't know you were going to put my dad's picture on the screen. And he started crying. Roger Clemens, tough guy, The Rocket. Bad to the bone. And he said, Joe said, who was the number one influence? And Roger Clemens said, my father. Joe said, your father? Roger, your father died when you were 8 years old. And he's still breaking up, Roger Clemens. And he said, yeah, Joe, I got to tell you that my father was the greatest influence. He was a great man. He had a hard work ethic. My father influenced me more. And Joe said, how could your father, that you only had him for 8 years? And Roger said, I remember the day. He said, I was home. We were there. And my dad had a heart attack. And the ambulance came to get him and take him away. And he died in the ambulance. He said, I can remember that day. Now watch this. Joe said to him, how could your dad, you only had him 8 years? And here's what he said, because my dad made time for us. My dad made time for me and my sister. He said, twice a week, my dad would bring home a gallon of ice cream and we'd have a party. He said when he came home at night, he'd be so tired, but after supper, he'd wrestle with us. He spent time with us. What's the analogy? If getting to know God better will help me trust Him with my future and commend my life into His hands, then I've got to make time for God. I've got to make time for God. I'm taking a time management course on the internet right now, and you actually have tests, and you got to do this and accomplish that before you go on to the next class. And the basis and the thesis of this time management class I'm in is this. Time management is simply taking control of your life. So what do you and I have to do? We have to make time for God. Pastor, how do you do that? How do you do that? How have you raised your family, served God all your life, built a great work by the glory of God? He gets all that. How did you do it? How did you do all that? I had to make time. I had to schedule my priorities. That's the key right there. So Jesus, the seventh saying, He said, Father, into your hands. Whose hands have you entrusted your life, your future, into? Into your hands, I commend my spirit. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now, I want you to notice the phrase, I commend my spirit. Do y'all see that? Now, you don't have to go there, but I want to take you to the Old Testament, Psalm 31, verse 3 through 5. Psalm 31, verse 3 through 5. Now, watch this now. See if something clicks. I know it will because you guys are smart. Watch this. For you are my rock and you are my fortress. Therefore, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Next verse. Pull me out of the net. Net means trap. Do you know the devil has set traps for you? The trap of worry, the trap of fear, the trap of anxiety. How do you overcome worry and fear and anxiety over your future? You put your future in God's hands. You trust God with your future. How do you do that? Number one, you got to get to know God better, because the better you know God, the less you worry, fret, and fear. See, I know I'm trusting God if I'm not worrying. Because if I'm worrying over my future, I can't be in faith and fear at the same time. So I got to hustle. Oh my goodness, team's coming out right now. But I'm not through. Amen? Until the fat lady sings, and she hasn't sung yet, all right? And we're not against fat ladies. We love everybody. Amen. Pull me out of the net, the trap that they've laid for me, for thou art my strength. Next verse. Watch it. Don't miss it. Into your, isn't that what Jesus said? I'm having an aha moment. Jesus, on his worst day, was speaking promises out of the Bible. You know, we as Gentiles, we teach our kids, you know, now, Lord, lay me down to sleep, you know, if I may wake, blah, 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 blah. Jewish children were taught to say this phrase. Mary taught this to Jesus growing up, because in a Jewish home, this is the prayer they pray every night with their kids before they go to sleep. Jesus is praying this with his Heavenly Father before he goes to sleep. He has no fear of his future because he's put his future in God's hands. What is he doing? Into thy hand I commit my spirit, but you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So number two, the better I know his promises, the more I can trust him with my future. Think about it, family. If Jesus, who we're to study, was speaking not the problem, not the pain. You don't know what my husband did. I'm sorry. You don't know what my wife did. I'm sorry. You don't know what my boyfriend did. My heart goes out to you. You don't know what they did at me at work, Pastor. My heart, as your pastor who loves you, goes out to you. But folks, we got to stop talking the pain when we're in it and the problem when we're going through it. And we're to do what Jesus did. He quoted scripture. He spoke a promise from the Old Testament. Wow. So if I'm going to trust God in my future, number one, I'm going to have to get to know God better. How do I do that? Make time for my Father. Number two, how am I going to trust God in my future? I've got to get to know his promises better. There are 7,000 in the Bible. I can't claim what I don't know. And I'm not going to listen to somebody else tell me about them. I'm going to find them out for myself. Can I have a witness in the house? And then number three, let's go back to, if we could, to Luke real quick. The third thing. The third thing is this. He said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. No, let's go back to Luke if we could. Praise the Lord. Okay, there you go. Let's go to the next, right here. Thank you. Now back one. There we go. Praise the Lord. I thank God for our team. Amen. Okay, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, what's that? It's finished. Having said this, everything's complete. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Notice they didn't kill him. He gave up his life. They didn't murder him. He gave up his life. When did he give up his life? When he had fulfilled his mission. Number three, the better you know your purpose, the more you'll trust him with your future. The better you know your purpose. This is what I teach you every week, is to know God, to know the Word, get a hunger for the Word, and God has a purpose for your life. I've been doing it for 33 years. And if you'll take it and act on it, your life will be better. If you don't, just wasted your time and my time together, and you won't benefit from it. I watched Joe Buck interview Ozzie Smith. And he said, Ozzie, when did you get a hold of being a Major League Baseball player? He said, Joe, when I was a kid, my brother Frank and I, we'd go to Dodger Stadium. He said, I'm in grade school. And he grew up in L.A. He was in L.A. during the riots in the 60s, Ozzie Smith. He said, we'd go to Dodger Stadium, and he said, I'd look out there on the field. I'd tell my brother, I'm going to be out there someday. Ozzie knew his mission way back in grade school. Joe Buck asked Roger Clemens, Roger, when did you know? Roger said, put his head down, put it up. He said, Joe, when I was in the third grade, I was practicing my autograph. In the third grade, practicing his autograph to be in the major league and have his picture on Sports Illustrated. Folks, if people can do that in the natural, you and I had best better do it in the spiritual. And we, if they know what they're to do and why they're here, we better know why we're to do and why we're here. Because Jesus knew he had to finish, because on the other side of the cross was you. So how do I trust God with my future? The seventh saying, I trust God with my future, number one, by knowing God better. How do I do that? Give God time every day. Number two, how do I trust God my future? You got to know what's been promised to you. You got to know the promises better. There are 7,000. Can't claim what you don't know. Better get into a Bible reading plan. Number three, what do I do? I better know my purpose better. Pastor, I don't know my purpose. Then be a part of mine, and God will show you yours. That's how it works. I don't know what I'm to do. I do. Help me. And helping me, God will show you what to do.